I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
We have got a ton to cover with you in this week's Big 12 Mailbag. Welcome in. I'm Pete Mundo. Heartland College Sports is where you can find and follow us covering the Big 12. I've owned it. I've operated it for 10 years now. And we are really growing on all of the platforms, and that is because of you. So thank you for being here. We're going to talk Big 12 and Notre Dame. Can that happen? Who had the best weekend of basketball and much more here on the show? If you're joining us live, please do get your mailbag questions in right now. We'll answer them YouTube Live, Facebook, X, wherever it might be. Let's have some fun and talk Big 12 action and just college football and college hoops. All right. So let's just start here. This came in on the Facebook and it comes courtesy of Brian. Brian writes to us, Pete, I realize this would have less than a zero chance of happening. Well, not so fast, my friend, in the words of Lee Corso. But Brett Yormark, the Big 12 commissioner, could seal his absolute legend status if he could somehow work his magic to land Notre Dame. The only way this would have also a shred of a chance would be if he could also get Florida State, Clemson, maybe NC to come along. That would instantly put the Big 12 on par with the Big 10 and would be a major power move. I know legal hurdles and a pipe dream. What are your thoughts? My thoughts? Sign me up. Now, I know that many of you are saying, screw this. We just got rid of Texas. Do we want another bully to deal with in the Big 12? And the answer right now is I'll take my chances, in part because of Brett Yormark being in charge. In part because I trust Brett Yormark's swagger. I trust his leadership. I trust his salesman approach to understand that right now in college sports, it is all about accumulating high-quality assets and high-quality brands. Now, to be clear, as pissed off as Notre Dame is right now at the ACC, I don't see the Big 12 as being option number one. We already know that Notre Dame didn't want to play BYU in the Pop-Tarts Bowl because, in part, I don't believe Notre Dame wanted to potentially lose that game to BYU. They didn't want to go prove it on the field. And Notre Dame academically has always viewed itself as above many in the Big 12. You really think they want to be involved with multiple land-grant schools? I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm just telling you, we've seen the arrogance on full display. You really think that's going to change? But clearly, the ACC-Notre Dame relationship is fractured. If there is anybody who can pull this off on behalf of the Big 12 and try to get into the good graces of the Irish and sell the Big 12 to Notre Dame, it's Brett Yormark. I would love it if Brett Yormark was on a flight to South Bend tomorrow morning. That would make my week. And I would trust him to pitch this league and to sell this league and to, yes, acquiesce to Notre Dame in a way that Notre Dame clearly believes it did not get from the ACC. Now, why Notre Dame thinks it deserves preferential status over, let's say, Miami, who's a full-time member of the ACC, is still something I don't quite understand, but neither here nor there. The pitch to Notre Dame is you come in here, we'll acquiesce a little bit. When it comes to football, listen, you're going to be at the top of the heap. You'll compete at the top of the conference. You got to give us a little something. We'll give you plenty of TV action, of course, with TNT now in bed with the Big 12. That could become a great part of this partnership when you look at TNT, the Big 12, and possibly Notre Dame as well. And you sell them on the success of not just football, but all the other sports that also matter to Notre Dame. They have national champions across the board. And the Big 12 is, listen, it's great in college basketball. We know it's the best basketball conference in America, but there's a lot more going on than just that as well in this conference. So all of that would lead to, I believe, a pretty good sales pitch by Brett Yormark. But I will readily admit, it is an uphill climb. It is not something that you are going to look at and sit there and say, yeah, that's going to happen tomorrow. No way, no how. All right? Highly unlikely, but if anyone could make it happen, give me Brett Yormark as the guy who could possibly make it happen. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Please make sure you are subscribed. If you are new here, we have had hundreds of you subscribe to this channel over just the last couple of days. So thank you for being here. Thank you for joining the show. Makes a big difference. Also, hit the like button on the video. And if you're on the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, wherever, drop a 5-star and leave us a review as well. How about that for my Christmas gift from you? That's all I'm asking for. All right. Big Lyman writes here, Pete, how about a holy division in the Big 12 of BYU, Notre Dame, Baylor, and TCU? I like that. That'll really determine who ends up in heaven, right? That's how it's got to be in the Big 12. Andrew says, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Notre Dame have a weak schedule this year? I mean, it wasn't terrible. It was like 44th in the country. BYU was 35 on strength of schedule. So, I mean, just depends on how you look at it. It was better than Texas Tech's, which was about 53, I believe. So, there you go. We have this on YouTube. Notre Dame would never join the Big 12. They are way too high and mighty. I agree. I'm not predicting it. I am not predicting it. I'm just telling you that if anyone could pull it off, it would be Brett Yormark. Get us in right now. Throw in your mailbag questions and let us know what's going on. All right, this question comes on Facebook from Dylan. Pete, who would win 2022 TCU versus 2025 Texas Tech? It's a fun question, but to me it's an easy answer. 2025 Texas Tech. As fun as that TCU team was in 22 with Max Duggan, Sonny Dykes' first year, remember, they won a lot of close games. They had a double overtime win against Oklahoma State. They had that walk-off win against Baylor. They had, a touchdown win at Kansas that year. Beat SMU by one score. Texas by one score. They had a lot of close games. They lost to K-State in the Big 12 championship game. They beat Michigan. They get blown out by Georgia in the national title. I believe this year's Tech team would wipe the floor with 2022 TCU. And I don't believe it's all that close. I mean, I don't even know. I love the question from Dylan. I just don't know what the pitch would be on the other side of that. Like, I don't know how you'd make the case unless you would just say, hey, Max Duggan's going to work his magic and it's going to work out. But I don't see that happening. So I don't know what answer you were looking for there, Dylan, if you're a TCU or a Tech guy. But yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that the answer to that question is 2025 Texas Tech. Get your questions in right now for the mailbag, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you're watching us. And we always appreciate our radio affiliates as well. Okay, this comes from Stan on Facebook. Who had the better men's basketball weekend? Arizona or Iowa State? That's a fun question, Stan. And I'm going to go with Iowa State. You go on the road and you beat the number one team in the country by, what'd they blow them out by, 25 points? On the road, like Iowa State did against Purdue, previously undefeated Purdue. I know what Arizona did. They had a great weekend blowing out Auburn by 20. But that does not touch, to me, what Iowa State did against Purdue. A Purdue team that was steamrolling teams. They had beaten Texas Tech by 30. They had a solid win over Alabama. They were steamrolling teams. It wasn't even close, some of these games. Now, that's how it happens in the non-conference sometimes. But when you're Iowa State and you go on the road and you do what they just did against Purdue, I mean, that's the win of the season in college basketball so far is what that is. Not just the better weekend than Arizona. That is the win of the year in college basketball. And John Rothstein making it very clear. Great job as a college basketball analyst. I got to try to get him on the show this year. He's a hoot. But he made it very clear that the Big 12 is the best basketball conference in the country, hands down right now. And he's right. The Big 12 is the best basketball conference in the country right now. All right? I mean, he's absolutely spot on about that. So I'm with him there. And you've seen some of that in the non-conference. And that's why the Big 12 has to do in the non-conference in college football what it does in basketball. Let's just go out there and play the games. Have some fun with it. All right? Now, I know it's easier, obviously, to do this in college basketball than it is in college football. But still, this is where the Big 12 on the football field is going to have to gain some traction. And that's winning some big non-conference games in football to basically make it very clear, hey, we've got a great team. We've got arguably the best team. And we've got the best conference, and here's some proof of it, and it's in the non-conference. Because that's what's going on right now in the Big 12, and it's a lot of fun to watch on the hardwood. Next up, let's get to some more of your questions here in the mailbag. All right. Where do I want to go here? Let's go to...
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
A lot of good questions. J-Rod says 2025 Tech versus 2011 Oklahoma State. Oh, man, that's now you got me. Now you got me. I love that 2011 Oklahoma State team. That to me was just, I mean, that team would have won the national championship. Oh, gosh, you're killing me on that question. Screw it. Screw it, screw it, screw it. I'm saying 2011 Oklahoma State. Weed and Blackman, those guys. I mean, that offense was just unbelievable. And here's the thing. They were a passing offense. Texas Tech's defense doesn't have a lot of weaknesses. If it has one, it's the pass game, not the run game. That Oklahoma State team would have thrown it all over Texas Tech. They would have had enough success to get the win. The defense was underrated. I would take 2011 Oklahoma State over 2025 Texas Tech, gun to my head right now. Don't ask me again. I'm not sure I'd answer it the same way. Deal? Dustin says on Facebook, how do we keep teams from opting out of bowl games? Well, you're fining them $500,000, at least in the Big 12. That's what's happened to Iowa State and K-State. That may ultimately make them think twice. How do you do it, though? You change this stupid calendar that the sport has. that's what you have to do. The question is, who has the gall and the leadership to actually do it? But that's what needs to be done. Until you do that, this chaos is going to continue. You've got to have collective bargaining. You've got to then have a situation where guys are basically going to stay with the team through the end of the bowl season. None of this, I don't care about the bowl game, I'm opting out. No. If you are a paid player through the university in some capacity, whether it's third party or whatever, you are staying until the season is done. Not the regular season, the season. That means you're playing in a bowl game. If we're paying you money to play football here, then guess what? We expect you to play in every game. But right now, it's a free-for-all. The transfer portal window opens up before the bowl season. So then it's like, well, if I'm going to go get my bag for next year, I got to do it now. I can't risk getting hurt in a bowl game, right? And then you find yourself in a situation where you're playing for what? Pride at that point? You blow out a knee? What happens then? So this sports calendar is a mess. Obviously, these contracts are totally meaningless. No one believes them after the regular season's done. So that's why everything is so broken. I get why teams are doing it. I mean, you know, they're down the third stringers, and some of these guys, let's be honest, have no business being on the field in a major bowl game. So it's like, gosh, we got to just lick our wounds and get out of here and avoid this whole thing. The schedule has to change. The calendar needs to change. And that's how this sport needs to fix itself. It's around the calendar. Here's what I would do. It's, to me, fairly simple. You start the college football playoff last weekend. You get rid of conference championship games. You have Selection Sunday, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Okay? You have the sport done by January 1. You fit in all your bowl games. The national championship is on New Year's Day. The sport's done by then. Then the transfer portal window opens up. Then all the chaos ensues. Coaches leave, all these different things, right? That's when it happens. January 2 basically starts the offseason. But right now, you've got this weird deal where you've got coaches like John Summerall coaching Tulane in a college football playoff while he's got a foot in Florida, in Gainesville. It's just not realistic. So you need collective bargaining. You need a better calendar. You need to hold people to these calendars. And I'm not convinced we're there yet, but I do think we're getting closer based on how ridiculous and chaotic this bowl season and this selection season was, with multiple teams turning down bowls and saying, we're done, we're out of here, we want no part of this. Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Please like the video. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel as well if that's how you're watching us. Thanks for being here as always and for being a part of the show. Let's see. What else do we have here? Thoughts on Tech's potential matchup with Oregon? Well, it's the likely matchup. I think they match up very well. You know, we were talking about this on the Heartland College Sports forums, which are free message boards, forums, whatever you want to call them. They're free. They're fun. You can join it at heartlandcollegesports.com. And as we were talking about on those forums, it's a good matchup because you have a relatively young Oregon team that wants to run the ball. And if I can, if I'm Joey McGuire in Texas Tech, get Dante Moore to try to beat me through the air, I'm in a good spot. That's what you want if you're Tech. And Tech's got the best run defense in the country. Oregon does not want to have to win games on the arm of Dante Moore. That's just, they want the run to set up the pass is really what they want to do. And they've got a younger team, not in love with the defense either. And I believe that it's actually a very good matchup for Texas Tech. I mean, of all the teams you could have, you get to those quarterfinal games, obviously, you got some great teams there. Every game's going to be a tough matchup. But I believe it's actually a very good setup for Texas Tech going into this hypothetical matchup with Oregon, who it's probably going to be, assuming they take care of business against James Madison. Let's see here. What else do we have? All right. This comes from Facebook. Stan says, sorry, still getting over that pneumonia. Both of my lungs, but I'm a lot better than last week. Stan says, obviously, Tech, BYU, Arizona, Utah, Houston, and Arizona State looked like the best teams in the Big 12 this year. But with all the coaching changes last year at UCF and West Virginia, and the upcoming changes at K-State and Iowa State, and Oklahoma State next year, has the conference overall gotten weaker, especially considering how rough the seasons have been for Cincinnati, TCU, Baylor, Colorado, and Kansas? No. No. I actually think the Big 12 has gotten deeper and better. It's just the teams that we thought had a chance to be elite are not. Oklahoma State is case in point. When the Big 12 got to its current setup of 16 teams 2 years ago, if I told you that Mike Gundy would go 0-18, well, he didn't go 0-18. Oklahoma State went 0-18, and Mike Gundy would be out of work in 18 months, would you have believed me? Of course not. No way. TCU not being as good, Baylor not being as good, is more of a testament to, I think, the teams that have come into this conference and performed well. Arizona State, BYU, Arizona this year. That's what's impressed me. Colorado last year. The newcomers have been better than expected. And that's the story to me about what this 16-team conference has been about over the last couple of years. It's not a knock at any one team. It's not a knock at any one conference. It's more about what the Big 12 has done to grow itself and who's been investing in the program and where those investments have come from. Even Houston. I mean, I've been tough on Houston, especially the fan base that does not show up for these football games, which is very disappointing. But they just got the number two quarterback in the class of 26. They're spending. They're investing. And, you know, there's just some of the old guard in the Big 12 that has not proven it's willing to do that. It's part of the reason Matt Campbell's not at Iowa State anymore. So I think right now the Big 12 is overall in a very good position. It's just not coming from the places that maybe we thought it was going to come from. A lot of us would have guessed that Oklahoma State could have been a team that would have become the cream of the crop, whatever you want to call it, the blue blood of this league for years to come when OU and Texas left and the four new schools came in. And obviously, they've become a bottom feeder in this league over the last 2 years. Can Eric Morris change things and turn things around? I believe he's got a chance to do that, but it's much easier said than done. So it's just, to me, to Stan's question about how the Big 12 has been so unpredictable these last couple of years. Not about how the conference has gotten weaker at all. In fact, I think there's great strength in this conference. I think there's better strength in this conference than we thought there might be 2 years ago. And it's just coming from different places. Obviously, Tech has invested tremendously. BYU's there. Arizona's building something. Arizona State has something. So it's just coming from the places that maybe we didn't expect. But the Big 12 is in a very good spot right now. And I think all things considered, based on where we were, let's say 16, 17 months ago, things are ahead of schedule based on how the Big 12 is operating. Now, they just got to get to the playoff and win some of these games. That's why it's imperative that every Big 12 fan pull for Texas Tech. Texas Tech should be the team that all Big 12 fans root for. The Big 12 has one win in 10-plus college football playoffs. You want to change the narrative around the conference? Tech's got to get some big wins. They got to steamroll some teams. They got to get to a national championship and maybe win it. That would be good for all other 15 teams in the Big 12 conference. It would say that what happened at BYU in two games this year was more of a Texas Tech thing than it was a BYU not being able to play with the top 12 teams in the country. That is exactly what this conference needs right now. And I know if you're a Houston fan or a Baylor fan or a TCU fan, you can't fathom the idea of rooting for Tech. I'm telling you, the Big 12 needs it right now. And they need it in a big way. All right, give me your questions. What else do we have here? J-Rod, how many teams should the Big 12 have in the NCAA tournament? Oh, dude, it is. I mean, listen, I'm not Joe Lenardi here. Come on now, brother. I love what you got going on, thinking ahead. But I'm not there right now. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head what we'd be looking at right now with the Big 12. I'd say you're probably looking at 9 teams, 10 teams maybe in the Big 12 in the NCAA tournament right now if I'm just sitting here spitballing this thing. I mean, if we look at the very top, obviously, you'd be looking at Houston, Arizona, Houston, Arizona, BYU. That's 3. You'd be looking at Iowa State, obviously. KU, that's 5. You'd go to Texas Tech is 6. You'd look at Baylor, 7. And then where are we going after that? Probably TCU, I would sit there and say, is on the bubble right now. Oklahoma State probably gets you to 9 if you're looking at this thing. I mean, UCF and Colorado might be making a case at some point, but I'd say you're at a solid 9 right now if I had to give you a number. So there you go. I like that. Keith says, Pete, what do you want for Christmas? You know, it's a great question, Keith. Thank you, buddy. You know what I want from you? All I want from you, Keith, is to make sure you're subscribed. Share the show with a friend. The show has blown up this year because of you guys. I can't thank you enough for that. Share the show. Make sure they're subscribed on the podcast, on YouTube, wherever it is. That's what I want for Christmas. Seriously. All right? This has been a passion project for over a decade. And the last couple of years have been tremendous, and it's been because of you. You've responded. You've been here. You've been a part of the show consistently. And I just want to keep this thing growing. I want to get back out on the road. As the kids get older, I've got 3 little kids, 7 and under right now. Just had my oldest birthday on Saturday. She just turned 7. So I want to get back out on the road. I want to hang out with you guys. I want to do tailgates again. All these things I did pre-kids, but the site was so much smaller. The channel was so much more niche. Now the audience keeps growing, so I want to get back out there and hang out with you guys and tailgate and do all that stuff. And I can't wait to do it. It's not going to be tomorrow, but I can't wait to do it. But in the meantime, we just focus on doing, hopefully, good shows day after day. You guys share it. You're bringing the show to other people. And that's what this ultimately is all about. So thank you for the question. That's what I'm looking for. That's it. Anything else? Let me see. What else do you guys have for me? Jonathan says, what's up, baby? Missed you tonight. All right, Jonathan, I see you're an Auburn fan. I'm glad you're here. You stumbled upon the channel. And I just want to ask you how that Wildcat juice tasted the other night from Arizona. Let me know. Oh, gosh. What else? Coming to the dark side, Pete. We got tortillas. Okay, thank you very much for that. I see it. Payson says, the only way Notre Dame enters the Big 12 is if BYU is kicked out. Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say that that is likely. Once again, that's where we started the show. You can go back, you can watch that, listen to it, the whole deal at the beginning. What else? Anything else you guys got? Jonathan says, Brett Yormark needs to do more about BYU getting robbed. There should be lawsuits with Notre Dame. I don't know how you do it. I mean, you listen, Yormark made a lot of good pitches on behalf of BYU. A lot of good pitches. I don't know how you sit there and say that there's more he could have done. I don't know what he did behind the scenes. Did he try to get on a college football playoff show? Did he try to get on College Game Day that last Saturday and make his case? And let's be honest, would it have made a difference? With all due respect to Brett Yormark, who I like, I don't think it would have. This committee was hell-bent on disrespecting BYU. Now, ESPN drove the narrative. There's no doubt about it. ESPN that drove the narrative. I'll agree with you there. But at the same time, the committee seemed dead set on just disrespecting BYU and giving Notre Dame the benefit of the doubt over the Cougars. The crime is not that Notre Dame got left out of the playoff. The crime is that BYU was behind Notre Dame as the second team out, and that BYU never got the same consideration, the same treatment, the same love as what Alabama got going into the SEC championship game. So that's what this is ultimately all about. And I'm just not sure what else your Mark could have done at this point. Steven says, who's your pick for Heisman? You know, I'm going Jacob Rodriguez, Texas Tech. That's my Heisman pick, man. You know, I saw someone put side by side the stats with Manti Te'o, speaking of Notre Dame, who was the runner-up for the Heisman at linebacker all those years ago, and Jacob Rodriguez. Jacob Rodriguez, more tackles, more solo tackles, more forced fumbles. I mean, he just had a better stat sheet top to bottom than Manti Te'o. And he didn't have a fake girlfriend to boot who was catfishing him. He's actually got a real woman on his side who we actually see at the games, which we didn't see for Manti Te'o. So he's got both those things going for him. Jacob Rodriguez is my Heisman guy. All right, I don't think the quarterbacks have been great this year. Think outside the box. Be creative. I don't like the odds because it's Tech. I mean, if Jacob Rodriguez was playing at Georgia, forget it. He'd have this thing locked up. He's playing at Texas Tech. Sad to say, that's a reality. But he would be my Heisman winner. It's crazy that, you know, it's not going to happen for him. Totally crazy. But we've come to expect that, unfortunately, in the Big 12 Conference. All right. Hey, guys, have a great day. Thank you for being here. Please do make sure you are subscribed to the channel. Thank you to those of you leaving a 5-star rating and review on the podcast as well. Share the show. We so appreciate you being here, and we'll talk to you soon. Go Big 12.